welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK charity that's been advocating for the integrative approach to cancer care for 20 years. An integrative approach is one that addresses a whole person and their many needs and challenges as far as that's possible, and it therefore draws on a very wide range of disciplines from complementary, lifestyle and traditional medicine. My guest today is Dr. Damien Downing, a clinician who's been deeply immersed in integrative medicine for most of his long career, and throughout that time has had an abiding interest in the role of sunlight in our health and well-being. This has prompted a new book on the subject, which I want to find out more about. Hi Damien, a pleasure to have you back on the Yes to Life show.
Thank you, it's good to be here.
So, the occasion that's prompted this interview is the publication of your new book, Coherent Health. First of all, my congratulations. Books are generally a bit of a mountain to climb, so it's always an occasion when one gets to the finish line. So, let's start with the basics. What do you mean by coherent health?
Okay. Several bullet points there. Number one, 50% of the energy that we get from the sun here on Earth is non-visible infrared. And so when we go out as though sunlight is good for you, we're missing out on an important point. There is all that energy that the more we move indoors, the less we take advantage of, really. And this is one of the reasons why green spaces and, you know, forest bathing, that sort of thing, are really rather good for us, because plants reflect that infrared. They don't need it. They're getting energy from other wavelengths. So they bounce it back at us. And if you stand in a wood in a reasonably sunny day with your eyes closed, the energy going into your eyes through the skin and everything there is probably 80% infrared and only a minor bit of the visible there, right?
Interesting.
That's the first point. We need to take advantage of that. The second point is that there's a magical, I call it a magical, because it's kind of, it's a quantum effect, a magical quantum effect of particular wavelengths of non-visible near-infrared light, in that when they hit you, they interact with water in a way that we didn't understand probably until very recently, when people started to understand this stuff called structured water, also known as EZ water, for exclusion zone water. But basically, you've got water in contact with even a slightly charged surface, then the first layer of water on that surface starts to take on a structure which you could regard as information or indeed energy. It stores energy in there. And then light of all the wavelengths, really, that we know, that are in the sun's rays that reach us, all those wavelengths will help to build up that structured water. And that has several consequences that we can go into one by one.
Right. Okay. So that kind of brings us to the subtitle of the book, really, The Power of Light and Water.
Yes.
Pretty obviously absolute basic building blocks of life, always have been. But this book then is a bit of an exploration, if you like, of the crucial relationship between the two, and also of the ways in which modern living has come to ignore this fact. Is that fair?
That's absolutely correct, yes. And I would say that the first reframing that you need to do with this is that sunlight, with all that unknown energy there, is the most fundamental nutrient there is.
Right.
Okay.
That is a reframing.
Yes. And so if you're going to try and utilize this, try to improve your health through nutritional type means, this is where you have to start, you know. If you don't start from here, it's the case of, as the Irish say, if I was going there, I wouldn't start from here.
Right.
Because you're missing the absolute foundation there.
Hmm.
And what this all ends up working in and on is coherence. So in a sentence, coherence means all the words working together to transmit your meaning. In a cell, or even in molecules or whatever, and in atomic physics, it means things working together to achieve an effect. And the term is used a lot in nuclear physics and that kind of thing. It has some sort of specialized meanings, but really it's kind of like, as they say, a good symbol operates on every level. And this one does. Coherence is relevant from the level of subatomic particles right up to the level of the whole human being and out to the level of the whole blooming universe.
Hmm. So a carefully chosen word that really describes what you're trying to get at here, the key point. So way back, long before anyone was getting hot under the collar about vitamin D and its relationship to our health, the developed world was busy then in a headlong rush to slap tubs of toxic lotion onto protectors from the dangerous sun. You came up with daylight robbery.
Yes.
The importance of sunlight to health. I actually looked it up on Amazon today just to see how long ago that was. 1988, nearly 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So you can get a second-hand copy for about 80 quid, including delivery. Anyway, but...
80?
Yeah, 80.
It's been going up lately, I tell you. I would invest now.
Right, yeah, buy them back.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a very long journey you've been on, basically. That's the point I'm trying to make. And I wonder if you'd describe some of the biggest shifts in your thinking along the way from then till now.
Okay, well, the first thing I have to credit, the first person I have to credit, is John Ott, as I did in Daylight Robbery and again in Coherent Health. John Ott was the guy who used to make time-lapse photography for Walt Disney. And you can still get access, at least one of those, on the Disney Channel. And I give the link in the book there. And he had a shed down the bottom of his garden where he used to experiment and do the photography and so forth. One day, he broke his glasses and didn't have a substitute, didn't have a spare pair to use. So he was without them for 3 or 4 days. And by day three, he realized that his arthritis was gone. He was so excited that he went indoors, ran upstairs for the first time in several years to tell his wife about it.
Yeah.
And from then on, he took a great interest in this and developed the whole theory of what he called, and we should still call, malillumination. Now, malillumination has two parts. Part one is not enough sunlight, and we did that to ourselves, firstly by building houses and so forth that you could live in, secondly by inventing electricity, and thirdly, by getting paranoid about skin cancer and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Which, is a good market for a lot of doctors and a lot of products. But nobody's looking at the adverse effects of depriving yourself of sunlight. And you are depriving yourself of the most essential nutrient there is to it. The other side of malillumination is too much toxic, unnatural, man-made light. What people now call little NN EMFs, so non-native electromagnetic fields, so it's wavelengths and wave patterns that don't occur in nature. And he observed this back in the 60s, 50s, way before we even invented the mobile phone. So you can imagine how much more, how much worse they've gone up now. And so, I mean, name a disease and ask me, do I think that malillumination is relevant to the epidemic of it? You know, cancers, autoimmune diseases, whatever. The answer is always yes. So you have to, I think you have to correct both parts, really, to get a good result, a good health-based result, to achieve decent coherence. And I think we, you know, we should all be doing that, really.
Interesting. So you're kind of looking at this as a foundational underpinning of health in a way that other things maybe sit above. So we're kind of undermining our health fundamentally by lack of decent exposure to sunlight.
Yes. If I can just illustrate a little positive now, I got off mainstream medicine way, way back by first by studying acupuncture and then a whole load of other stuff that people at acupuncture class would say, oh, you know, you can do this manipulation or whatever, and this happens.
Yes.
And so forth. So for years I was doing that. But then when I got into nutritional medicine, I realized that getting sorting out the basic things, the nutritional deficits, deficiencies, lacks, and the, you know, the toxic burden, the toxic blocks to metabolism, fix those, and all the energetic medicine, you know, acupuncture, homeopathy, so on and so forth, they'll all work better because you've got rid of the basic stuff. And now I think we have to take that right back down to the beginning and apply it to light as well.
Okay. So just to go back to what I was asking about your journey, you're not just writing an updated version of Daylight Robbery now. You've got a lot more to say than you had then. So how would you sum up that and how you came by that?
The problem in writing a book like this is, when do you stop? Because I've put a lot of research into this. There's, you know, a couple of hundred odd references and so forth. And there are fantastic resources out there that catalogue all the studies that come out. And on photobiomodulation, which is like the medical application of what we're talking about here, there are over 700 studies a year coming out, and amazing stuff. So when do you stop, really, is the difficult problem. But some of when I've tried to, in the book, to not put anything that I can't be reasonably certain of it. So I, you know, for instance, on acupuncture, I'm saying that I think we can confidently say now that acupuncture probably works by the transmission of photons, and that's, in fact, that's biophotons, along acupuncture meridians. But I had to put the probably in there.
Right.
You know, although there are some treatments out there that appear to work very well using.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
One of the key stories in the book here is about time crystals. An ordinary crystal is a molecular structure that repeats in space. So there's a molecule, 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 like that. A time crystal is a crystal that repeats in space and time. Do they exist? Well, they have been produced transiently at great expense in laboratories, but then there's structured water. And structured water is a sort of like a crystal. I mean, they call it liquid ice and all sorts of things like that. And it enables a lot of things to happen. One of them is that you can build what they call coherent domains. So that's like a tiny structure in the water that can absorb energy and store it as information, as structure, right? But that oscillates over time. So because inside your body, it is, I mean, there's a lot of things there. And things like surfaces down as small as, you know, a protein molecule. The proteins are hundreds of amino acids long. Structures down as small as that can have structured water on their surface. So the collagen, the fascia, within your body has on its surface a structured water film, if you like, that is like a superhighway for electricity. And the structured water in many places within your body, largely in the interstitium outside the cells, can store this energy as information. And this appears, we now realize, to explain water memory. If you remember a guy called Jacques Benveniste back in the 80s, that there was a high up, highly respected researcher in Paris, and he reported in Nature, the prestigious Nature journal, that there you could impart a memory to water. It was described by that as a journalist. He never actually used the words, but he didn't object to them either. And Nature thought this was so improbable, they sent in a whole team of investigators, including the great Randi, a magician, to basically to find him. They obviously gave him clear instructions to find it false. And in the end, their conclusion was that They tried to reproduce his results, failed. He said that they hadn't done it right, which was probably the case. And so they did it again and again, failed, and so on. In the end, they said, we don't believe his statistics because they're too good. You know, it's like you could never get it right 100% of the time, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really a very convincing dismantling of water memory, but it rather put paid to Benvenista's career, and we all forgot about it for a while until quite recently. Some researchers in Israel and Russia, I think, did some studies using what they called SDVSPLs. So that's serially diluted, vigorously shaken polar liquids.
Okay. Yep.
So serial dilution is what you do with and comparing homeopathy, and vigorously shaken is that's the other half of the succussion that to make a homeopathic preparation. And the polar liquids means that by this point they're very diluted, but when you get polar liquid means it's got a charge on and therefore it can interact with water. Right. So when you get those circumstances, you can form structures in the water that researchers have called coherent domains, because there's like a little contained compartment that can store the energy or the information, if you like, from electromagnetic fields. So, I mean, light, if you like, but also all sorts of other electromagnetic fields. It can pick up this electromagnetic energy, store it in there, and then release it at a different time. So there's information stored in there. So that's water memory. And the way you get it is by doing the steps that Hahnemann somehow, Lord knows how, worked out are necessary to make a homeopathic preparation. And each of those polar liquids has different concentrations. You know, they work from 10 to the minus what to 10 to the minus something else, dilutions. And you know, each one has a different one of those. So I think that this is very probably, it explains how you make a homeopathic preparation and how a homeopathic preparation can work. And the fact they have all these different dilutions explains why, in my experience, homeopathy isn't better than it is, really. It would be fantastic if homeopathy, you know, you could be light every time and know that, okay, like an antibiotic, if you've got the right circumstances, this is the right treatment and so forth. But firstly, it's too complicated. Secondly, you just get failures and so forth. So you need a lot of experience and also a bit of luck. But I think that tells you how homeopathy does work, and it's an important phenomenon because it's, you know, it's very like the whole structure of water story and the time crystal story. And so roll that a bit further and you see an awful lot of things that is regarded as, you know, as Americans would say, as woo-woo stuff, telepathy, Lord knows what, you know, this is probably how it all works. It's not fancy and woo-woo at all. It's using the basic stuff of the universe, the most fundamental building blocks of the universe, energy and matter, life and water, right? And they all work by these mechanisms. Telepathy does that. Faith is why faith works. You know? I mean, anybody who's been anywhere near a faith organization will know the statement that faith can move mountains is true. I remember my mother saying, we're in desperate need of so-and-so for the community. And so we prayed and so on. And lo and behold, it happened. This is coherence in action. This is how this fundamental part of life works.
So looks like your journey's been one which has significantly broadened out along the way, basically, and has provided you with insights into a lot of the workings of life.
Yes. Yeah. And the journey's not finished yet, of course.
I imagine. Yeah. So I was very interested, a moment ago you were talking about electric light, and you described it as basically like a toxin. It's clearly not sunlight, but apart from the fact it gets a bad rap for being used at the wrong times when people use too much light when they're supposed to be going to sleep and should be in the dark, in and of itself, it doesn't get so much of a bad rap generally. But you're saying that actually it's not good for our health, full stop. Which is quite interesting. So I'm just interested to have maybe a bit more of a picture of how all these effects of modern living are showing up. I mean, what kind of symptoms are resulting in the population from a shortage of these basic building blocks?
Right. Probably all of them. It's a kind of a... Well, I said earlier that John Ott identified the two sides to malillumination. Too little sunlight, too much toxic light, unnatural light. And he did that when it was just cordless phones and televisions and things like that. And he made it work too. He did experiments with plants that showed put two plants side by side in front of a big old television. And on one, the plant on one side, you put a LED screen between that and the TV. And the other one is directly exposed to the TV. It was all on the time. Come back in a while, and you find that the one that was fully exposed is all withered and unhealthy. The one that was screened from the unnatural light is growing quite happily. So I think all sorts of growth and development and just normal functioning are meant to depend on light in this way. And we've messed all of this up, really, by being polluting our energy. And it's not just the energy, it's the matter as well that we've been polluting. So is there anything that I would say, there's no point trying light treatment for this? No, there isn't really. And if you look at the evidence that's coming out all the time on the actual medical, if you like, clinical use of light, photobiomodulation, then it never ceases to amaze. I mean, you know that in the cancer sector, you know, people who have chemo tend to end up with a horrible mucositis, where basically everything inside, all your mucous membranes, are horribly inflamed. And the only treatment there is for it, the only treatment that insurance companies will cover for it, is light, is photobiomodulation. And there's even, the one that amazed me was snake bite. There's a Brazilian paper that came out recently, they've been doing it for a while, that shows that if you're bitten by a snake out in the country, usually on the lower limb, then obviously you get to hospital as soon as you can. they will give you lots of things. They give you, you know, anti-venom and probably antibiotics and painkillers and so forth. But if somewhere in there you get some decent light therapy in, it really makes a difference as well. I haven't, honestly, I hadn't expected that one, but no. I guess I.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We're thinking of light therapy then as a basic, you actually mentioned people with cancer and going through treatment and everything. So that's the main listenership to this show.
Yes.
So your feeling is that in terms of cancer itself, this is a kind of foundational well-being thing that one should aim to address. And is the addressing it, you say you can, you talk about light therapy, but you know, what do you mean by light therapy? Do you mean by just getting outdoors in the sun or more than that?
Well, in general terms, for what everybody should do, I think we should all get out more. And the simplest way of doing that, really, is to make a point of every day getting outside in the morning. Probably, I mean, some people say, oh, do it at first light, but really it's better if you do it a bit later on, like after 1 hour after sunrise, and get out there without any lenses, any glasses or, you know, contact lenses or anything there, so that you can get the light on your face and on your, onto your eyes. And if as much as possible, try and get it on your skin as well. And that way, that's all the time, they'll be starting to get some UVA in there, which has a particular benefit. That stuff helps you to switch into daytime mode there. And so you should try and do that every day. And better still, if you can exercise in it, then that will help you produce melatonin. Because we need to reframe melatonin. It's not just something that you need in the brain to help you to sleep or whatever. That's the special arrangements made for the brain. Every cell in the body produces melatonin when it produces energy to do its work or whatever. It automatically happens.
Okay.
And if you exercise, like that. Reasonable exercise, doesn't have to be excessive. Brisk walk, you know, climbing up and down stairs, whatever. Do that for 20 minutes and you bring your circulating melatonin level up nicely. And that circulating melatonin in the bloodstream is the overflow from what was produced in your mitochondria where it was needed as the prime antioxidant.
Mm. And interesting to make the point. A lot of people have got the idea of exposing their skin to the sun as being a good thing. But you are also emphasizing how important it is to get it into the eyes and not through any kind of lens of any kind.
Yeah.
That's a bit different. And do you want to just say a little bit about why particularly it's important to get it in the eyes?
Yes, it's because of the body clock, really, right? The optic nerves, the nerves from the eyes carrying the light, carrying the visual information, also carry non-visual light information that they get from different receptors in the eye. And they take that to what's called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. Now, the suprachiasmatic means it's on top of the optic chiasm, which is the place where the left optic nerve and the right optic nerve from the eyes meet and cross and redistribute their fibers and their signals. Right? So it's a good place to collect all the light information you're getting in the eyes. Right? Takes it from there and it translates this into an on-off for the circadian rhythm. And this is the second, all the sleep experts say that if you want to get your circadian rhythm properly organized, the first thing to do is to define the wake-up point with bright light. Yeah, okay? So you're in training your circadian rhythm and you need the light from the eyes. There are other properties beyond vitamin D as well that you can also get from the skin. But, I mean, to be honest, most of the people who write this stuff are living in places like California. And,
right.
You know, they're starting from an advantage there, really.
Yeah, they are. It's certainly over us lot here. Right, okay. Well, look, that's really interesting. We've just got a couple of minutes left. Now, so I just sort of thought that maybe you could sum up here. I mean, in relation to people with cancer, what would your overall message in regard to light be?
So I think that the situation with light and cancer is like this. In order to treat cancer, you need to be coherent. And that doesn't mean just picking out one thing there. Light even how as important as it is, and only doing that. As I say with that and all the other treatments, this is not a horse race. You don't get a prize for finding the best treatment. You get a prize for finding the treatment that works. And so you would want to integrate light into your treatment of cancer. But there's a parallel here with what Linus Pauling said back in 1979 about vitamin C. I'll quote this to you quickly. They said, "It is our view that supplemental ascorbate, vitamin C, is of some value to all cancer patients and can be of very great value, including tumor regression, in a fortunate few." Now, I think we will find out that it's exactly the same story with light and cancer. So that means just for vitamin C and also for light therapy, you don't want to put all your eggs in any one basket, even those.
Right, but this is one that's very broadly applicable and is likely to help a lot of people to some degree.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. All right, really interesting. That's really useful information for listeners. So thanks a lot for that. So we're going to have to wrap it up. We're out of time already. Thanks so much for a very illuminating chat. You'll excuse the pun. Anyway, it's a fascinating topic. I hope lots of people will want to know more about it. Do you want to tell everybody, again, the details of your book, about where they can read more about you and about your work as well?
Yes, okay. The book is called Coherent Health, The Power of Light and Water. And you can already get it from Hammersmith Books. And their website is hammersmithbooks.co.uk.
Okay.
And you should find it listed there. But no doubt it's very soon. I think it's 12th of Feb. It will be out on Amazon and things like that.
Excellent. And to find out more about you and your work?
Oh, drdamiandowning.com. Though, hold on a bit because we're in the middle of rebuilding the website.
Okay. All right. But keep an eye on it. All right. Well, look, thanks so much, Damien, for a very interesting chat.
Okay. My pleasure. Thank you, Robin.
It's heartening to hear that something as accessible as natural light can have such positive effects on our health and well-being. It underlines the important part each of us can play in our own health, even amidst a health crisis like cancer. We can make simple choices to support our own recovery. Thanks for listening this week. If you're not already a regular listener, please do consider earmarking a slot to listen to the show each week. And consider also keeping in touch with Yes to Life, the charity, either on social media or by signing up for our newsletter, which you can do from the footer of any page on the charity's website, yestolife.org.uk. That way, you'll get to hear all about our exciting upcoming events, such as our online conference in the summer and our in-person conference in September. As usual, I'll be back again next week with the next Yes to Life show. I wish you a good week ahead, and as usual, I'll be back again next week with the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.